A lot about tzitzis. I want the last day to be a little bit about tzitzis because we didn't get that much of a chance to talk about tzitzis halachically. But we saw that the contrast between the blue and the white is the contrast between, as the Rav said, between ration and irrational, mystery, lucidity, clarity. You can't see everything. You can't know everything. The ocean really isn't blue, which is the visual effect of looking at something that you can't peer through, that's too deep, that's too impenetrable. The sky is not really blue. The sky is full of air. The sky is just the way it impacts your eyes. Think about color. Those of you who like thinking about color, color and religion. What does Hashem want? Remember I told you those guys who came to Gush Etzion like last week for the food tour? Everything Hashem gives you, He gives you for a reason. So Hashem gave you the ability to understand color. That's for a reason. How does color affect your avodas Hashem? Well, what mitzvahs? Let's just start at the baseline. What mitzvahs are directly linked to color, where color is important? What? Tefillin. Tefillin goes first, yeah. Tchelas. Esrog. What? Mishkan. Burning the Mishkan. Saras. Tzvi. Tumah v'tara, blood. What color is it? Is it blood? Is it another body? Saras. Saras. I remember I spoke a lot yesterday. I spoke last night about Rav Lichtenstein so much. So my other Rebbe, Rav Amital, was much different. He was very relaxed, and he'd give shir, and everything was great. He ended on time, and he didn't like get up. There wasn't like this guzzle of Torah. They knew every single word of Torah ever written. So I remember one year he was giving a shir klali. Shir klali once a week in yeshiva. We had shir for the whole yeshiva for like two hours. He was giving a shir klali on lulav and esrog, and what the yellow of the esrog has to be, and what the green of the esrog has to be. So I was like a second year guy. I wanted to ask a question because I had a question. Because, you know, when you ask a question during a shir klali in front of 500 guys, it gives you a good feeling. You're like, is he showing up? So I raised my hand. I asked a question. He says, "Ken Moshe," said in Hebrew. Is it the same? Can you compare? Can you use certain parameters of what makes yellow and green for tzaras and help better understand?
Why do we have yellow and tzaras?
You know, yellow and green. There's a difference. Different hairs.
Tzahov.
Sahar tzahov. Anyway, so he looked me in the eye and he says, He just looked at me and said, I don't know these things. I never learned Sarah, so don't ask me these things. You got to be honest. The most important thing he told me to say is, Rebbe, if you don't know something, say you don't know. There's nothing wrong with not knowing something. Something terribly wrong with lying about it and making believe you know something. Anyway. We talked a lot about the tzitzis and the perspective and proportion and breaking out of your narrow boxes and thinking about the sky and the ocean and Kisei HaKavod. I want to tell you two other midrashim, medrash and a pasuk, that gives you slightly new things you may not have heard about tzitzis. The first time that tzitzis is mentioned in the medrash, I don't mean the first time in the medrash, but the first place in the Torah that the medrash slips in tzitzis, is at a really, really early stage. The world has almost collapsed. There's been a 13-year world war. We had 5 years of war and 6 years of war, and the world almost disappeared. It was another 2 years, nuclear war. World War II not ended when it did. The Germans were on the verge, Japanese were on the verge. You would have had hundreds of millions of people. We'd still be suffering. We'd still be suffering nuclear fallout. So the world would look like Chernobyl, not like Beit Meir. And Avram intercedes, and Avram saves the day. And there are two stories to Avram saving the day. One is the personal narrative. He saves his nephew, which is important because you don't abandon your family. There's a different narrative. He saves the world. Even though the team he saves are sinners, he saves stone. And even though you could justify, why should I save these people? They're sinners and they're going to be killed in the next parsha anyway, because we know Anshei Stom, Ra'im v'chata'im, they didn't all of a sudden turn toxic and turn rotten in Vayera. They're already rotten in Lech Lecha when Lot chooses them. But yet Avram saves lives because you don't know how people can change. Trust in people. Believe in people. I really wanted to say this last night. Part of being an Oved Hashem is believing in people. Sometimes in the firm world today, there's a tendency to be misanthropic, racist, ignoring other people, disrespecting. Hashem made everyone with Tzelem Elokim. And some people ruin it and tarnish it, but everyone has it. And most people in today's world, at least, we're not living in the 1300s where people are raping and pillaging and murdering and slicing each other's heads off and not showering once a year. We're living in this is the world more or less Hashem wanted. science, progress, health. This is the world that Hashem wants people to live. Again, we need to improve our morality. We need to improve our sexuality. We need to improve our politics. But the scaffolding of this world is more or less what Hashem wants. Believe in people. Learn from people. As part of being an Oved Hashem is to respect the Tzelem Elokim in people. Now, everyone has a Tzelem Elokim. We have more than Tzelem Elokim. Who knows what Rabbi Akiva said? Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem in Perkei Avos. Chaviv in Yisrael Shenikru Vanim. This week's Parsha. We did their Shnai Mikra already. Vanim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. That's the scutter. That's why the Torah says you have to hold yourself with class. You have to cut yourself and mark yourself and smoke nargilas. That's not classy. Ben Torah has to be classy. You got to hold yourself with class. You got to reflect the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Hold yourself with class. So Avram saves the world. And everyone's celebrating Avram. This is now an international moment. If you're looking for the most international moment in Sefer Bereishis, this is probably it. This is the closest that the general population will get to seeing Hashem through Avram. He's the hero. He's the rock star. If he wanted to, he could just give a shir and probably all going to become Jewish. For whatever reason, he doesn't. But at that one point, Malchstam says, you know, I owe you everything. You saved my entire empire. Take whatever you want. Just opens up his treasure. Just take. Take the people. Take the money. Take the... Avram says, no.
Doesn't he not
take the people? Right. In theory, he could have taken the people also. Not take them, but inspire them. Yeah. Avram says, I don't want the nefesh gerat. Baruch kachach. What does Avram say? I don't want anything. So first of all, okay, before we talk about tzitzis, really, really important lesson here. The sooner you cut off this trait, you nip this trait in your personality, the healthier you'll be. You got to really work hard at it. It's depending on how you were raised, depending on how much money you had, how much money you didn't. Sometimes it's counterproductive. Some of the people with more money have a greater challenge with this. Some is less money. Depends. It's called greed. And greed isn't just like these greedy, grubby, I want to take your money. It's just you're always looking for more, and you're looking for things that come free, and you want things that come free, and you play the lotto, and you play Powerball, and you're waiting, and you're hoping. It may happen. It may not happen. It rarely happens. You know what lotteries are? You know what lotteries are? No, lottery is just a nice name for it. You know what it really is? Governments have to raise taxes. So they raise taxes by charging tax on gas or tax on cigarettes or tax on imports or tax on cars, whatever. You know, the government said, you know, we got to find another way to tax people. You know what? Why don't we just tax stupid people? Everyone who's stupid has to pay a tax. Now, we can't call it a tax for stupid people because it's insulting. Do you know what? We'll call it the lottery. Because you know who plays the lottery? Stupid people. So it's just a tax. It's another name for taxing stupid people. See people lining up, playing the lottery, throwing away their money. It's just a tax. A good way for the government to fill their coffers. But it's not. I'm not interested in whether it's stupid or not stupid. Let's say weren't stupid. Don't look for three things. What you need, create for yourself. There's great, great dignity in life in taking care of yourself, taking care of your needs, not wanting things that are beyond your needs, not spending beyond your needs. Now, for some of you, you may have grown up in a house that there was just a lot of money available and a lot of funds, and that may have been easier for you because you never had the pressure. When I was in high school, I had pressure of money. My parents were all right, but I was in a very wealthy Haredi school. But I was in a very wealthy school. And I remember that every day for lunch, I'd bring my peanut butter and jelly, and the guys next to me would be going at a restaurant buying salami sandwiches and steak sandwiches. And I was envious. I didn't really have good lunches. I ate what I had. It took me a while to, like, overcome that because I was conscious I had to overcome that. I always imagine if I had more money, it would have been easier. Maybe not, because sometimes you have more money, things come so easy to you. Sometimes when you learn the value of it, like sometimes my wife and I have this conversation, like we're in the store, we're shopping together, and we want to buy something, should we tell the kids how much it costs, or should we share with them? And it's a legitimate struggle. On the one hand, you don't want to drag kids into your financial world. You're not supposed to have pressure. There's a lot of pressure with finances. I'm sure you picked it up from your parents. Making a living, supporting a family, paying the bottom line, handling your bills, not easy. Money isn't growing trees. I'm sure you told that a million times. So you guys shouldn't have that stress in your life. You guys should have a life in which you're able to focus on growing and developing. On the other hand, if you never know how much things cost and you never go through that process of, how many guys, don't raise your hands. How many guys in this room worked for a living? They actually had jobs. It's really healthy to have jobs, right? It's really, like we tried to get most of our kids jobs and it's not as easy, but it just teaches you the value of money, not to waste money. You earn it, it's harder. So, just different. wherever you come from, try to work at that. If you have this greed and you constantly want the next phone or the next earbuds, and you know, that obsesses you and you can't stop thinking about it. You're always looking up the next website that says when it's going to leak and when it's going to come out. You got to get out of that. You got to get out of that because it's going to invade your personality. It's going to affect everything, relationships, religion. You want more. You have to learn, it's called contentment, to look at what you have and be happy with what you have. And you know what? It's a lifelong struggle. It goes on forever and ever. And it's really at the heart of being happy, of having self-esteem. If you're not happy as a person, you won't be a good Oved Hashem. You have to be happy internally. You have to just be at peace with yourself. I'm telling you. If you're always in tumult and always angry and always fearful and always full of anxiety and stress, your Oved Hashem is going to be really uneven, really imbalanced. Sovereign says, you know what? I don't want anything. And he's so adamant. He says, I don't want a string, and I don't even want a strap. Who knows the lashon of the pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha? Im, Shimon, Michut, Ve'ad, Sroch, Nal. I don't want your strings. I don't want your straps. I don't want anything. I'd rather my dignity. You guys know who Nixon was, right?
Yeah.
Who is his successor?
Ford.
Very, very underappreciated president. Nixon was a villain. Nixon was a thief. Nixon was a liar. Obviously, the country was traumatized. So Ford was his replacement, and he was his vice president. He was a clumsy klutz. I mean, I'm telling you, it was hilarious. The comedy shows had an easy time. He'd like walk out of the Oval Office and trip down the stairs and come rolling down the stairs. Literally, if you look at like Saturday Night Live from the 70s, that's all they do. They didn't deserve a salary. They didn't have to work hard. There's no creativity. They just walk out of the room and fall down the stairs. He would get off the plane, Air Force One, and fall down the stairs. But he was very, very calm. He was very soothing. Sometimes you need soothing people after the country's been torn apart. I don't know what's happening in America right now, but the country is really torn apart. If Biden, I'm following, but if he's able to soothe and to calm, be a calming presence. No. Okay, so that's a way to soothe. That's a way to soothe. That's great. That's soothing. Make fun of you. It's a way to soothe. Like I told you guys, they approached me from the Chevra Kadisha. They wanted me to be the soother, like to go to the family after someone passes away and sit down and talk with them, make jokes, fall down the stairs, whatever. I don't at the time, but I'd love to be. I like being a soother, keeping the calm, keeping everyone smooth. Everyone. Sometimes. You'd be surprised, Shimon. Seriously, one of the ways to. I'm not going to tell you now because one day when you're a parent, but one of the tricks of being a parent is, you know, your parents are so looming and large. You respect them and they're up there, but they're also intimidating. And I work with a lot of guys. How do you make yourself less intimidating when you're a teacher? How do you make yourself less intimidating when you're a madriach? Because sometimes you feel like, oh, you're so strong and so passionate. And then your kids or your campers or whatever get really intimidated by you. How do you make yourself more human? So one way is to fall, not to do it intentionally, but when people see you as someone who falls, literally or metaphorically, he's just a human being. Like when I tell my kids about the struggles I had in high school, oh, he's not my father, oh my goodness. He was born with a Gemara, and he made a Siyum on Chas when he was born on this bris. And, you know, he's just a normal guy. Just like you and me. Right? Brooklyn, just like you and me. Hey, it's in Brooklyn. I mean, I can tell what this means in Brooklyn, but. Okay, so he says, I don't want anything. I don't want anything, Avram says. But why does he say Sroch, Nal, and Chut? So the Gemara says, Bishchus that, Hashem told Avram, I'm going to give your children a mitzvah, they'll be Mekayim with strings. Since you refuse to take strings out of greed, your children will fulfill a mitzvah with strings. What's that mitzvah? Tzitzis. Either tefillin or yavama, because it's a shoe strap, and chalitza you perform with a shoe. It's machlok is two different in Russia. Yeah, so that's why they say yavama, chalitza. So that could all the more reason. Anyway, what is the message of this medrash that Hashem gives us a mitzvah even to perform with our strings? What does that mean? Think about a medrash. Not just nice. Way of remembering, Avram didn't want a string, now we have a mitzvah with a string. What does it mean that Hashem gives us mitzvahs with strings, as opposed to other mitzvahs that are not with strings? What do you think, Yosef?
Maybe like, since a string is like the lowest of low, it like shows everything.
Yeah, everything, very good. Everything. I'll get back to Ford in a second. Strings. Who's learning Daf Yomi? Anyone learning Daf Yomi? What's the pasuk that teaches us schach? What do you have to use? Be'aspecha, migarnecha, migvecha. B'sal, use the leftovers, the scraps. Because if it's not leftover, mati, you're not allowed to use it in Kabbalah Tumah. That's the contrast between Tchelis and Lavan. This is the third contrast. One contrast we spoke about was cognition versus mystery. Another contrast was narrow versus broad, panoramic. Think about the sky, proportion, perspective. You know another difference? Who is Tchelis? What did Baruch tell us on Monday? Rich, wealthy, Kohanim, Romans. Who wears white strings? Everyone. Normal people. Normal people, guys. There's so much you can gain in life. Before we even talk about mitzvah, so much you can gain in life just from normal people, meeting normal. In fact, sometimes the more basic they are, the more common they are, the more you can learn from them. I don't know if you guys had a chance maybe to meet some of the people here, on even on campus, some of the waiters in the kitchen. Part of living in Israel is as follows. It's really, really different. People in America talk about living with non-foreign people. You know what word pops into your mind? One word, kirif. How can I teach them? I have the truth. I have the Torah. I have the Masorah. How can I teach them? Even in stages, it's not going to be 0 to 60 in 10 minutes, but in stages. You know what people think about here? Not so much kirif, but bidirectional. Let's live together, and I can teach you some things, but you know what? You can teach me a lot of things also. Let me tell you what Ashkenazim have to learn in this country from Sfardim, and specifically Sfardim who aren't dati. Their Achnesas Orchim is unbelievable. They'll take you into their house for days, because that's the way it was in Syria and Iraq. You just came and stayed. Their sense of family, oh man, I wish Ashkenazi families were built like Sephardi families, because there's a lot less tension, a lot more kibbutz avaim, a lot more kibbutz harim, and just openness, lack of inhibition, not to just share your feelings in a humorous way and in self-effacement, just to be not so close. So much to learn. So much to learn from regular common people. So Gerald Ford, he was bald. And he was once speaking in Boca Raton. Exactly. And it was a monsoon. He got caught in a monsoon. So he walked into the theater, walked into the stadium, into the arena that he was speaking in, and his hair, which hardly existed, was frazzled all over the place. And his suit was crumpled and shrunken and wrinkled because he got caught in the rain. He looked like a hobo. Looked like a bum. And he got up there and he started his speech as follows. I'll never forget what he said. He said, my father, he used to quote his father, came from Ohio, told him this homespun wisdom. He said, my father told me that nobility is not of the cloth and nobility is not of the wallet, but it is of the spirit. One thinks you're more noble by how nicely you dress and how fancy and expensive your suit is, or how much money you have in your wallet or in your bank account. I've seen a lot of rich people that don't know the first thing and they have the first clue about nobility. And I've seen a lot of people with less that just get it. They understand it has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with clothing. Some of you guys live in very, very wealthy, wealthy communities. So think about the communities you live in and think about the people who have money and think about the people that you would say are noble and dignified with it and in their lives and the people who are not. And it could be, and I can say this because I hardly know most of your parents. My parents say no, we're Rabbanim, so you probably have some money. Maybe your parents. Maybe your parents have a lot of money and they just put it and wear it in a way that's just, think about one day. Remember, kibbutz avaim doesn't mean agreeing with your parents. Kibbutz avaim means respecting your parents. You got to find yourself. You got to find your ideas. This is the time you're growing and thinking and discovering. The best thing for your parents that you could do for them is disagree with them. What does that mean? If you're all being recorded, they can listen to this also. The best thing you can do is disagree. Why? Because if you agree, they're great, everything you want me to do, I'll do everything. And then you become 25 and you're your own person and that doesn't work for you and then you're really frustrated and angry. And the best thing you can say, I love you and we're two people and you have tremendous strengths and thank you so much for everything you gave me. But here I want to be a little different. The earlier you start that, the longer your relationship is because they're treating you like a real person, not like some... Right, guys? You're past the stage. You're not 12 years old right now, right? You know your parents aren't perfect. I think you discovered that a little bit a while ago. You've seen them. Can't hide from your kids. Can't hide from your wife and kids. You can put on a mask when you get into public. So your parents aren't perfect. Great. So now let's love each other. Let's grow from one another. Let's share experiences because we're not perfect, but you have so much to give me, and you've given me so much, and I'm so thankful for it. And the sooner you're able to hit that baseline and say, Kibbutz Avayim is not me worshiping you. Kibbutz Avayim is me respecting you and caring for you and taking care of your needs. And, you know, some things I'll learn, some things I won't learn. But so Hashem tells Avram everything, everything. Don't ignore. Don't ignore not just strings and Yosef, not just monetary. I can use a mitzvah with this cup and a mitzvah with these eggs and a mitzvah with this. Of course, that way. Look at this, okay? I think I was one of the first people. I was just talking to someone today who got this. What I mean this, okay? I literally was the first person in the world to get this. What do I mean? In 1986, I was working for IBM. So we actually built an internet before there was an internet. We hooked up 80,000 IBMers on the East Coast, and they started talking to each other through their computer, sending little messages. We didn't have Windows. This is black screens. They were sending little green messages to each other. But we got the sense that you could talk through computers. Like, we were the first people. It's 86. Internet explodes like 92, 93. We got it. I left IBM because it was a culture of mediocrity. Like, basically, if you listen to your boss, you don't make any waves, you don't think too much, you show up on time, you'll get a 3% raise every year. Shoot me now, please. That's so not me. I'm not sitting there listening to anyone to get my 3%. You know? Any Ragalach? Does it include Ragalach? I'm so out of there. But anyway, so one day my boss comes in and he says, whoever works the hardest this week gets to take home the new toy. What's the new toy? Work, I work, you work. Charles Smith beats me out. Charles Thompson beats me out. He now runs IT in Houston. Really smart guy, African-American, brilliant guy. Beats me out. Boss comes in on Friday. Joe Smith is his name. Comes in with the first portable computer. It blew our minds. We had computers on walls. Here's a portable computer. It had a handle. We called it a luggable. You can Google it. It's called a luggable. It was the size of a suitcase, I promise you, but we were just blown away. So I got this whole world pretty early. I really got it. And because of that, I said, you know what? I'm going to start writing Shiurim online. I'm one of the earliest people to write it before audios. I started writing in 95, 94. Like Gemara Shiurim, all these Lamda Shiurim that I've shown you. So you got to get not just technology and material, but people. Just try to take it. Hashem gives you. Imagine you have antennas coming out of your hands and out of your head. Just have all these receptors and antennas and eyes and ears and grab and high things and low things, great people and low people. You know where I spent the last two afternoons? Really humiliating. Really humiliating. I got two ticky-tack driving tickets the last year. Like, if you can't imagine the two most ticky-tack driving tickets. One was I was driving too slow in the right lane. Like, is that what you're supposed to do? Like, be safe. I said, what are you doing? There's clearly a cop on the end of a shift who had to find someone to give a ticket to. The next ticket was even better. It was in the left lane, about to make a left turn. Marty says, we have to make a right turn. So I put my hand, I said, stick your hand out, ask the guy behind us if we can go in his lane. The line was dotted, you can cross. And I went, he let me through. What'd you do? You weren't courteous to the other driver. Be courteous. I asked his opinion. He gives me a ticket. I said, so I got the two ticky-tack tickets in the world for driving too slow for not being courteous. Excuse me. Anyways, I had to go to driving school. I had to sit for the last 2 days, 4 hours in like remedial driving school. Like, who shows up in driving school? You don't want to know, guys. You just, it was like painful for me to sit there with all these like kids and people like cursing each other, whatever. I said, okay, what can I learn from this? What are the type of people like? These are good people. I made a minion for Mincha. People show up. Like, try. Like, if you're going to live 2 days in hell, at least build a base medrash there. Don't write that down. Right? I mean, spend 2 days in Gehenna, at least put up a base medrash. Learn, grow. There's so many things out there. Your tzitzis reminds you, don't just think high, think low. But here's the second question, guys. Why does Hashem introduce tzitzis at this point to Avram? Obviously, because he says, I don't want strings, but Hashem could have found another time to slip it in. So Avram said a lot of things. Not all of them are recorded in the Torah. You don't have to record when Avram told Sarah the eggs need some salt. The Torah doesn't write that. So the Torah doesn't write everything Avram said. So there was another point that Avram said something. Like Avram said, hey, Sarah, hey, Eliezer, bring me the rope for the cow, for the malachim. I probably said something like that. Huh, since you said you brought the rope, you get the tzitzis. Why is this the moment that Hashem introduces tzitzis? Say it better. What high point was it? What does it mean? Is that his high point? Very good. Okay, everyone, take out your tzitzis. Everyone, take out your tzitzis. Try to find the pasuk for you. I gotta find the pasuk for you. 1 second. Too much ragalach. Hold on. 1 second. Too much ragalach. The pasuk. Anyone have a Yeshayahu on them? And have a Tanakh here.
You left me this.
Okay. Guys, we got to finish. Ko Amar Hashem Tzivakos. Zechariah Perachas. You know what's going to happen one day, guys? Let me tell you what's going to happen one day. This is prophecy. End of days. People will come. Where will they come? They'll come to Hashem. They'll say to one another in Chinese, in Russian, in Arabic, in English, in Polish. Nelcha. Let's go. They'll say, this is Zechariah quoting what people will say. Let's go. Haloch lechalos espinei Hashem. Let's go find Hashem. Where do we find Hashem? Uvo amim rabim. All these nations will descend. V'goyim atzumim. I'm reading Yipsukim, guys. Really important to learn Tanakh. If you guys don't have a chance in school, try to just spend an hour a night, 15 minutes a night. I mean, it's like missing half. Ko amar Hashem tzivakos bayamim mahima. How will they get to Yushalayim, literally and metaphorically? How will the nations of the world get to see Hashem? Well, what's the answer to that question? Through?
Us.
Our job is to teach the world, not to deny the world, not to ignore the world. That doesn't mean you should all go out and teach Gentiles. But it's our responsibility. They're our responsibility. We're Kohanim. Our responsibility are them. That's why we're Tchelis. And how will we help them get this? So this is the metaphor of Zechariah. You're watching, I'll show you visually, and then I'll read the passage for you. You ready, Daniel? Grab one. Take hold. Come with me. Here's your life. Here's your life rope. Hold on to my tzitzis and I'll bring it. The symbol of tzitzis is that people can grab onto us and get to Hashem. Four corners, four parts of the earth. Now listen to the pasuk. Zechariah, write it down. Write it down in your notebooks. You'll know what it talks about. Everyone talks about tzitzis. Everyone talks about this pasuk. We don't know that. You want the sheet? Source 6. Kol Hashem Tzivakos. Vayag Mahema. Asher Yachaziku Asar Anashim. Nikol Hashem Rasagorim. 10 people from every nation will come on to you. Vehechaziku Bechnaf Ish Yehudi. Vehechaziku Bechnaf Ish Yehudi. Leymor. Nelcha Itchem. We want to come with you. Daniel, we want to come with you. Take me with you. Nelcha Bechnaf Yehudi. We want to come with you. Because we know that Hashem is with you. Take us with you. Guys, come on. We're also giving a little bit of Tanakh. What does that sound like? I'll read it again. A little bit of Tanakh. What else does that appear in Tanakh?
Mordechai.
And what's happening when Mordechai Hayyudi Yatsa Mildeh HaMelech Filabush Malchus. What's happening when he's wearing his tzitzis with chelas? What's happening around Rabin Beharetz? All of a sudden the world is awash in pro-Judaism. People think about Hashem. And what happens right after Purim? What's one of the four odds of Purim? Not four odds, but a calendar of Purim. What world dies and what world starts to begin? What? Yeah, that's if you're a Jew, but what else? If you're a guy, what happens around the day of Mordechai? Mordechai is, let's say, around 500 BCE, 400 BCE. What happens, Mordechai? Paganism starts to disappear. What do we start to see? The first stirrings of? Monotheism. And what are the first stirrings of monotheism? Polytheism, theism, Greek, Romans. Greek and Romans don't have one god, but they certainly have gods that aren't physical, and bats and rats and tats and bats. And they're not worshipping animals and trees and what? They're worshipping concepts, they're worshipping spiritual, and even Zoroastrianism. So when you're putting on your tzitzis, you are trying to bring other people to Hashem, the world. Take. So I feel it's so ironic that people are afraid to wear tzitzis in public. No, public is, if you wear tzitzis, but wearing tzitzis is the sign that, please, here's a lifeline. Hold on to me. I'll bring you. I'll help you. Take me. I'm going to help you get to where you need to go. I am yours. I am here for you. Take hold of my tzitzis. I'm a prince. So I'm wearing princely clothing and princely color. But I'm not just a prince stuck in an ivory tower eating my grapes. I'm a prince whose job it is, whose task it is to save you, to help you. That's why, Yosef, that's why this happens at that moment with Avram. This is Avram's Mordechai moment. This is when Avram is closest to bringing people closer to Hashem. Because he saves their lives. So two additional ideas for tzitzis, guys, when you put them on. Not just his heart that is called Mitzvah Hashem, and not just the sky and the heaven, and not just the logic and the illogic, but try to find Avodas Hashem in everything. High, low, rich, poor, waste, or in everything. Try to find Avodas Hashem in everything. Number two, don't fall into a place where being more frum is associated with being more racist. That's not good. There's a lot of that going around in our world, and you're simply turning your back on Avraham Avinu. There's no joy in Shemayim when people say, hey, it's really hard. You know, for me, it's really hard because I have a lot of antagonism towards the people who are opponents of Eretz Yisrael, people who hate us, people who protest against us, BDS, Ben and Jerry's. That's a separate issue. And by the way, just so I should say, really important, but totally separate, but most Satmars are not crazy. Those who are crazy are not Satmars. What do I mean? There's a group of about 10 or 12 Jews in Manchester who dress as if they're Satmar, who associate with Satmar, who are simply not Jewish. They're Rodef. If you cannot eat their meat, you cannot drink their wine, you cannot marry their children. And the Satmar community has excommunicated. They get a lot of publicity because they hang out with Hamas, because they hang out with Iran, because they hang out with Hezbollah. Oh, they're Orthodox Jews. And about 12 people. They're all over the place, but the 12 people. Most Satmar Jews ardently oppose Medinas Yisrael because they love you so much and because they feel that this is halting and thwarting redemption. But they will take you into their house and they will host you at a hospital in New York, Chatz HaShalom, or anywhere if you need food or lodging. And they're part of who we are. Those 12 crazies are off the grid. They look like Satmars, but you can also look like Satmar. Go to Meir Sharim and buy yourself a getup. I mean, it won't make you Satmar. It'll make you Satmar imposter. Okay? But I'm talking about real opponents of Israel. I'm talking about Hamas and BDS and AOC and the squad. Yeah, but one day, AOC and the squad will come and say to me, thank you. Thank you for putting up with me. Thank you for putting up with my hatred and my hostility and not being angry at me and teaching me and not being dismissive of me, because they're not our enemies. They're our audiences. And this reminds us that we have responsibility as best as we can, not to go out and all of a sudden teach Gentiles and stick to your guns. Learn Torah, bring us into this world, build communities, build our people, build our state. Turn history. You want to turn history? Learn another Blat Gemara. That will turn history. But just know that when history turns, it's going to turn. I wanted to get you back to this minute earlier, but this is like too good a story. I once got a pretend plane story in Chicago. A really good story. About a plane late at night in Chicago. I tell it to you yet?
The guy, you're learning.
So he asked me the three differences. Remember the difference I told him?
What was the story?
Plain story. Anyway, three differences between Judaism and other religions. Not enough time to tell you the context of the story. We have no missionarizing endgame. We do not want to convert one single human being to Judaism. As opposed to Christianity, as opposed to Islam, both of whom have a messianic endgame in which everyone becomes Christian or goes to hell and is eliminated, everyone becomes Muslim. Our job is to model 613 so people can appreciate the beauty of 7. To model morality, to model dignity, to model family, that's our job. Nothing more, nothing less. We paid a heavy price in history because of our job, because people don't like to be challenged, but that's too bad. You're a Jew, you challenge people. That's why it's so good to be a Jew in Brooklyn, because everyone in Brooklyn's challenging. Brooklyn's like a life of challenge. You're growing up challenging. You got challenged. Okay. Let's get back to the base matters. We will start here at some other time. 10:55. I'll put it out on the WhatsApp. Guys, I'm really, really hoping to put out weekly WhatsApps for you, okay? But if I miss a couple of weeks, it's because I'm in some foreign country or some other planet teaching somewhere. So I'll put them back to it. Samuel's there. Mati. Put your number. Who else can put their...
Zaria's
not here. I'll get from his brother. Michael, you're not on the sheets. Put your name down. Also, who joined? Okay. Sources. Guys, there is no Ruggle Achet 11.
Honestly,
it's not put there.
So what I take away from this year is that we should build Beit HaMikdash in Gehenna?
Guys are Melman like stupid, like, you know, donkey is. It's not in your DNA. It's a problem.
Are these the same?
Yeah, same
can
as life.
Can he be both of
them? Yeah. The good guys. Okay, guys, a half an hour, 10:55.
Hey, I want to apologize. A few days ago,
I got to tuck myself in here. You're gonna have Sarah Terry and look.
A few days ago, you walked into the basement manager and you said hello. You said hello to me, but I was grabbing my shell yacht, so I didn't say hello back.
Yeah, okay, so see, it's not a secret. You're not a secret. You put her on bed at time this month, right? We know you get up early.
Of course.
Secret menu.
Of course, Randy. Yeah. What was it happening?
Yeah.
Hey, can you see?
That's
okay. Here, here.
Wait, Benny.
I gotta take a minute and get myself organized. There's too many sheets. Too many driving school sheets. Here are the Makars. Here, 1 second. Here are more Makars.
I used to wear his playlist. Why did you choose Rafa?
Ask Rav Aaron. Forget where it fits.
Why didn't you wear his
playlist? Probably because of the Rav's idea that you can't change Masara without prophetic intervention.
There are a few stories that Rav Aaron, like, was leaning on the other side of the end of his life. Do you know anything about that?
I wasn't a busybody with Rav Aaron. I gave him his privacy. There were some who wanted to ask him, like, why'd you scratch your nose? Why'd you comb your hair? Why'd you look in the mirror? I just felt like I wanted to have dignity. I mean, I felt really bad because I would sit with him every day at lunch when he was older, and it was really hard for him to eat. Not to eat, but just say, he was a very, very loud environment, like 500 boys, hustle, bustle, running away. So, like, how can a 82-year-old guy or 81-year-old guy was suffering from whatever he was suffering with. Like, it just felt like he needed 20 minutes just to sit on the side and eat his lunch. I sit next to him every day. I don't want to say a word to him. Like, when he died, I said, oh, my goodness. All these things I wanted to talk to him about. It took me, like, weeks to get over the guilt. But I think I did the right thing just to give him a peace of mind. Not to, maybe this. I just said, you know what? I'd rather sacrifice my own for him. So, I wasn't a busybody like that. I gave him space. Every day I was sitting next to him. I'm watching me. I learned a lot from watching me. I learned a lot from watching him eat. Okay, I'll be right there, guys. Yes. This is for now.